This is the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. It is January 24, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. Good morning and welcome. It's the latest Indiana farm news plus markets and weather brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. Coming up in the news today, CJ Miller is here. We'll have President Trump's ag secretary pick with her Senate confirmation hearing, and two major economic challenges farmers will face in the next decade. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says mostly dry conditions for up to two more weeks, and the markets reversed again yesterday to post gains. Mike Silver market analysis is coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
Brooke Rollins appears before senators for her confirmation hearing and the long-term outlook on farm profitability. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Bird flu, biofuels, and the ag trade deficit were all brought up during Brooke Rollins' Senate confirmation hearing for U.S. Ag Secretary.
And I commit to you today that if confirmed, I will do everything in my ability to make sure our farmers, ranchers, and rural communities thrive.
And that's Brooke Rollins in her opening statement Thursday to the Senate Ag Committee. She was asked about the U.S. ag trade deficit by Senator Michael Bennett of Colorado, and whether Trump's tariff policy was the right way to tackle it.
In the last handful of years, we've gone from not having a trade deficit in our agricultural communities to having a $45 billion trade deficit. Of course, that has led to many challenges, including food inflation. And so there are many tools in our toolkit, both through USDA and expanding markets, which are all intertwined, to begin immediately to work to bring that deficit down and hopefully soon get it to zero.
Ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee, Amy Klobuchar, asked Rollins about how she would manage the nation's bird flu outbreak.
If confirmed, how you ensure that farmers have the resources they need to combat the spread of this virus, what is your plan?
We are hyper-focused on finding the team right now. I'm sure they're already working. I have obviously respected the process and not gotten too involved. But I know that the current team and the future team will be working hand-in-hand to do everything we can on animal disease.
Klobuchar also asked Rollins about her family's investments in the oil industry and whether that would impact her decisions regarding policies to further grow the biofuels industry.
Senator, I can promise you this. Anyone that has ever worked with me will tell you, even to the detriment of organizations I have run, detriment financially to my potential family, that I have never, not ever made a decision based on financial interest ever. And that certainly will not begin now.
You can watch the full video of Rollins' Senate confirmation hearing and read more at HoosierAgToday.com.
At Keystone Cooperative, being farmer-owned means giving back to those who make it all possible, our farmer owners. After a remarkable year in 2024, we're returning $68 million to our members through patronage, an incredible 57% of our profits. Unlike Wall Street companies, we deliver our success directly to Main Street. This is the Cooperative Advantage. This historic return benefits farmers across Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. Keystone Cooperative, centered on you.
Well, the outlook on farm profitability over the next decade remains the same. It's going to be very challenging. Andy Eubank has more.
At the recent Purdue Top Farmer Conference, University of Illinois Professor of Agricultural and Consumer Economics Gary Schnittke said it will be difficult to build the case that corn and soybean prices will go higher over the longer term.
What we're probably looking at is the average, if we take the prices over the next 10 years, it will average something near 430, and soybeans something near 1040.
He focused on 10-year strategies for success in dealing with static commodity prices. Dr. Schnittke says there will be two primary areas where you may have to adjust.
One is the land area, and what are you going to do about cash rents? And the second one is machinery, and we're going to have to, I think, reevaluate our machinery purchases.
He says the difficulty with cash rents is they need to come down, and come down considerably.
So how's a farm operator going to handle that? And I would also say that, you know, a strategy for building a farm in the future based on being aggressive in cash rent isn't going to work in the next 10 years like it did in the last 10 years.
Schnittke suggests a focus on machinery planning. Be sure the equipment is properly sized for your operation.
A lot of that does come down to the combine and making that combine cover as many acres as possible. If we're below, say, 2,000 acres, we're going to have to think about ways of sharing equipment, et cetera, so that we can keep those combine costs in line with where our economics are right now.
He added there were a lot of equipment purchases in 2020 through 2022.
That was primarily done to shelter income from taxation. And we aren't in that situation anymore, so we have to scale those back. And the next time that this comes about, or we do have some higher prices, we probably shouldn't be using those to buy equipment.
Tough times and tough decisions are ahead in the coming decade. I'm Andy Eubank.
And I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it. Operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit Mid-America is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Calling all organic grain farmers. Make plans to attend the Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting February 19th at the Beck Ag Center in West Lafayette. Hear from keynote speaker Dave Campbell of Lily Lake Organic Farm and connect with experts on insect ecology, organic markets, and biological amendments. Register online by searching Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting or call Ashley Adair 765-496-6362. This message brought to you by Purdue Extension and the Indiana Organic Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. It's an interesting forecast as we run through it here to finish this week. Most of our forecast is dry. And honestly, we've been dry here for a moment. With the cold air, the moisture that tried to fall just was not all that impressive. And we're going to continue to see a mostly dry outlook over the next week to 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, depending on how things come together. So kind of interesting here. Let's run through it for the today time frame. We're still dealing with some cool air. Now, we have better sunshine today than yesterday and no threat of light snow and flurries. High pressure is close by, but I do think we're getting onto the backside of that high. So south flow should be in control for the balance of today and through the weekend. I think we see a mix of clouds and sunshine. Temperatures that are cool but not cold. Pretty close to normal for this time of year. Definitely a lot better than earlier in the week. Getting into next week, the cool air is still here Monday morning to midday, but easing as we see strong surges of southwest flow coming across the southern plains and lower Mississippi River Valley. I'm looking for Tuesday to be mild, Wednesday mild, and it's going to be mild enough so that our next chance at moisture, which comes on Thursday, yields a scattered rain showers. Now, I do need to emphasize the scattered nature because, again, I led off the forecast talking about how dry the pattern is overall. So scattered rain showers, I think we end up with maybe 30% coverage, and we're talking moisture totals of a few hundreds to maybe three or four tenths. That is it. But it is rain, and so that's going to make things a little sloppy here. Behind that, we cool off ever so slightly to finish next week on the 31st, and that lingers into early the 1st of the month, so changing the calendar. And then we get another round of very warm air coming right back, and this one, once once again brings the potential for rain on Sunday the 2nd. Now, this rain is going to be better spread and a little bit heavier. This is, I believe, our one shot at moisture over the next 2 weeks. We can see anywhere from a tenth to likely half or three quarters of an inch of precipitation around 80 to 90% of the Hoosier State. It's gone by Monday the 3rd. Cold air is knocking on the door, though, so it's very warm. Arctic air is up to the north. It wants to break free. Maybe we are chilly here for 1 or 2 days, the 3rd and 4th. It could trigger a little bit of lake effect snow, but I think that warm air is coming right back. It's going to be a major yo-yo back and forth through that first full week of February, first 10 days even, and our next chance at moisture may come with another warm air versus cold air battle late the 7th into the 8th. So, got a lot here to deal with on temperatures, not a lot on moisture. We'll see if that changes. Any of these systems could get a lot bigger, or on the flip side, they could even get smaller. So the precipitation, not a lot of confidence, but I do think that we're going to be extending the dry pattern here short term, at least for another week. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
From the Farm Bill to foreign farmland ownership and international trade, ag policy is having a big impact on Indiana farming operations. The Hoosier Ag Today Indiana Ag Policy Podcast provides in-depth coverage on these and many other important and complex issues. Get the details behind the headlines with the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, hosted by Eric Pfeiffer. You can find it at HoosierAgToday.com, the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Gains in corn and beans. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Thursday market review. And corn and beans worked higher throughout the trading session. Wheat finished right around flat after a mostly higher day. Market analysis to begin. We get that from Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. I spoke with him at the end of the Thursday session. Back and forth. Up one day, down the next, and on Thursday it was time to go higher after Wednesday losses, and Mike, that we did. Corn, beans, wheat, all higher. The strength mainly coming in corn and soybean futures. Was there anything in particular that helped drive those markets a bit higher?
Well, as you said, Andy, it's back and forth, and it's going to be that way for a while. Certainly, farmers have availed themselves, and I'm going to talk about the cash market now, of some of these pops that we've seen, especially in the March corn futures, in the December new crop corn futures, in the March soybean futures, and in the November new crop soybean futures. Folks have been pricing some old crop, pricing some basis contracts, pricing some DP that they have in the elevators. They're also starting to engage in making small increments of new crop sales, and the market is affording that opportunity. Certainly, with the March corn futures right now, they traded a high today so far of 494.5, and certainly that's much appreciated. And if we look at the chart and look at some of the technicals in the chart, it looks like that we should have a shot at around the $5 March futures price target and maybe a little higher. And in the December 25 corn market, which traded a high today of 465.5, it looks like, you know, that a target up there probably around the 475 December to 480 December futures mark would be a good place to make some sales. Markets are being supported today by obviously the uncertainties and the up and down. The volatility in the market probably is going to continue for quite some time, Andy, as we react to the second term of our newly inaugurated president, who's been in office now since, I guess, noon Monday, right? So he's globetrotting now and still talking all different kinds of issues with global leaders. You know, he has opinions on everything, and I'm not making a value judgment there, but the market is trying to sort all this out and incorporate it into grain fundamentals. And we know that our futures market, which is globally traded, consists of far more than just the fundamentals that take place here in the U.S. It's global fundamentals. We know that this tariff talk, it could have serious implications that could affect prices either way. So we're just going to have to wait and see on a lot of things. The South American soybean crop, obviously, remains a big factor in the market. And actually, we're seeing March and November soybeans up today, which in considering the fact that it looks like, you know, that South America is going to raise one whopper of a soybean crop, we still have some opportunities here in the cash market to make some pretty good old crop sales right now. And as I said, to book some $10 and better new crop 25 sales for fall delivery this fall. The crude oil market, the energy market, we know has an impact on our grain futures market. Crude oil is a little lower today. The dollar index, obviously trading at 108.03, is down 0.133 here as we're moving into the close. And the Dow futures, we have those up 326 points at 44,680. So, Andy, it's going to be a long remaining time frame until we get to the spring planting season. And the market has its antenna out there to see, you know, what kind of acreage that we're going to plant here in the United States. It would indicate from a lot of the seed corn and soybean seed companies that soybean sales appear to be down in the U.S. this year on early booking programs, and that corn sales appear to be higher. And we will not really get good trade estimates and any intelligence from the USDA until we get to the spring outlook meeting, which usually takes place mid-February. So the market's going to be looking forward to that. We're going to continue to monitor export sales. We did not get export sales numbers today, but they'll be out tomorrow because of the holiday on Monday. We did have pretty decent export sales last week, 1.024 million metric tons. We have a high end of the estimates this week are at 1.7. So corn export sales have been good, and we need to maintain those at good levels. The soybean sales last week were at 569,000 tons. We have estimates this week in the report tomorrow anywhere from 600 to 1.8 million metric tons. So we also know that here in the U.S., this winter weather pattern with and I'm sure everyone has been reading about this, the situation down in the southern states, in Florida and in New Orleans and along the Mississippi River, and that is impacting obviously some of our grain transportation, and that's having some impact obviously on basis levels. For the most part, basis levels since we got the January 10th report have improved, and they've presented some opportunities. So we're just encouraging folks to take a good hard look at their grain positions right now for their old crop and their new crop. Look at a variety of marketing tools that are available in the marketplace. Minimum price strategies to guard the downside and leave the upside open are worthy of consideration. And if anybody has any questions about choosing an appropriate marketing tool to match one's own particular set of situations, we'd be happy to talk to anyone about that. So with that, Andy, we'll just see how we close out the day here today. It looks like we're going to close with some strength and look forward to what the USDA has to say to us tomorrow in terms of global events and the weekly export sales report, which will be out at 8:30 tomorrow morning.
Thoughts from market analyst Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. Mike's number there is 800-666-0613. On the Hat Thursday market review, about a nickel higher in corn. March contract goes to 489 and three quarters, a nickel and a half higher. May up a nickel and a quarter, 499 and a quarter. And July corn, $5 and three quarters of a cent, up an even nickel Thursday. 9 and a half higher on the March and May beat. bean contracts, March 1065 and a half, May 1077 and three quarters, July 1088 and a half, up 9 3/4. Unchanged on the March wheat, 554, up a half cent for May, 567 and three quarters. And the meats mostly higher. February live cattle, 201.10, a dollar and a nickel up. February lean hogs up 65 cents, 82.12. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.